Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Have you got a spoon for me? I won't eat on camera, but
what did you do with the last one?
When?
Bruv, this don's always bringing food early out.
What did you do with the last spoon?
The last spoon.
You took it out, didn't you?
Yes.
You took the whole spoon. Dan's spoon, you know.
Oh. So have you got a plastic spoon?
Did someone get into trouble for that?
For a spoon? No.
I mean, I hope not. They're 10p at IKEA.
But I know he didn't take it home either. I know he probably dashed it in Central.
No, Dan would have had a right to be upset about it, because if Dan was upset about a spoon being missing, it wouldn't have been about the spoon being missing. It would have been another thing that's happened, and that's the spoon being missing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I fully hear you.
Yeah?
That makes perfect. The spoon is just a small part of the large.
It's another thing.
Yeah.
So what? You're telling me now that spoon's gone?
But I hear it. I'll be honest with you, Dan. The rest of the situation's got nothing to do with me.
Nah, I hear you.
Meet me where I'm at. I'm at the spoon.
I kid you not. Is there
what spoon is that?
A tape. What do you mean? Beggars can't be choosers. What do you mean to eat in my hands?
You saying Chinese again?
You think I'm Modine? I'm not trying to eat in my hands. Well, Four Seasons now. We dropped out Four Seasons today. We went back to Jamaica. Keep it Caribbean. We saw gigs, so it's only right.
Wait, what? Which Caribbean did you go to? The one up the road there?
I went Ochi.
Owen Bush.
Is that good?
Oh, Chambers, I've not been there for years, but it used to be all right until one day, I'm not going to lie.
Talk to me.
I had an oxtail up there one time and it wasn't very...
Oxy.
No.
Nah.
Right then.
Man was an oxymoron.
It was an oxymoron.
That doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. That's an oxymoron. Yeah, that's you're too quick with it. He's too quick with it. But traditionally, though, Ochi is legendary, though.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, man.
4.6 rating on Uber?
Yeah.
That feels right?
I'm sure that over time as well, like, maybe it's a family thing and new people have come in, left, whatever. But Ochi is legendary. That's a proper Caribbean shop there from West, like, especially in Bush. Hey, wait. As in, Getz has got a bar. I can't remember where to locate it from. But he's got a bar about his dad being from West or in West and saying that he went to Ochi. I'm going to find it.
Serious?
Yeah. I'm going to find it. I'm sure. Are you looking for it, EA? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. I can tell. Ochi Getz is kind of Google, isn't it?
Nah, that's got to be an AI thing.
Every rapper will always remember when the next rapper mentioned their ends, or like when Drake said Tottenham. Of course I remember that.
Yeah, of course.
We always remember that. Getz, I would never have remembered Getz bringing up West London, Ochi, unless I was from West.
He, you know how Getz likes to paint a picture?
Of course.
Yeah.
He's
painting a picture.
Artist.
He's painting a picture. Ah, now it's coming to me now. He goes through North, East, South and West. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in each bit, he's talking about doing something there. Is it on the album?
He does it a few times.
I'm mad.
On a daily duppy, he does it.
Sorry. I'm sorry. This pod's too credible for me to not do this. You found it. What song?
The song is called London. I'm gonna call 2K's on the store. Suck your mother.
Okay, I'm gonna know toothpaste can't put one, put one. Tie him up like watch a him now. Cause he's all tongue. West London. My dad's side from Shepherd's Bush, so I got a few allies in Lennoxhood and I treat advice like it's never good. West London. Used to go roadie hut. Oh, roadie really hut.
So
oh, there we go. Wait. They got Ochi blood. Wait.
Okay, so I'm going to the same place as Getz. Ochi feels right.
Used to go roti hut, cross the road and go Ochi blood. Yeah, it's across the road.
4.6 rating on Uber Eats.
Right then.
If you're local, give it a little shout out. Give it a local purchase. It's black.
Yeah.
It feels right. You know, I was like, come on, raise the cling film.
You said you're good though?
I'm good.
Giving thanks every day?
Very, very much so, man. Strongly. Very, very happy to be here. Like Chucky says, two arms, two legs.
Yeah, man, we give thanks every day.
And my hair longer than your bitches. Oh,
I'm
my
telling
God,
you,
man.
Don't let him take that out and comb it.
Jesus. Mad. What are you saying?
Is your afro coming down? It's just not, don't stay up. Your thing's got length where it comes down now.
My brother, I'm Rapunzel, man. Come on, man. Respect my ting, fam.
To bits.
Lay down my hair and niggas have to, well, pause.
Man, I don't know where you go with that.
Get off a climb up my hair.
All right, then.
Just be careful. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing Saucy Santander tell academics a couple things. I just want to...
He's got him barling.
Barling.
He's like, crying. Like, do you know what? Ak, you know what? If you're here, come sit on the couch. Come sit on the couch. Ak can come sit on the couch.
He went, he was on Kick Game. With
are, you do, are you doing him on thing?
You have to pause because you say you're doing him on thing. Nothing specific. It's all just very broad and general. Okay. Doesn't feel right.
Gasworks.
Thank you. Gasworks. No, do you know what? I tried to reach out. I'm a spoke shout out Trev. But fuck it. Alham was being long, man. I swear down all yesterday. I've tried my hardest. Shout out my boy Jack, the producer. He had to go abroad for a little while to have a little break. So I tried to sort it out. I'm hitting up Trev like, yo, man, let's try and get him on the Gasworks. And all now I can't hear a response from Alham. All now.
I'm serious. He might be in Dubai.
Alham is honestly, I love Alham.
Or he's in Rolex buying a watch.
100%.
He's in Dubai or he's buying a watch?
Alham is, fam.
A blue one.
Oh my Lord, fam. I don't even know what to say. I just don't know what to say. Ever since he went and grew his hair, like chunks and them lot, he's just been a little bit different.
I hear it.
These men are out here purchasing hair like Sims characters. You lot are dead, man.
But he don't need to purchase hair, though.
He did.
Who? Alham.
No, come on, man. Watch Gasworks. You can see it.
But he's cold. Like, the way that their man is set up is that's hair, bro. To bits.
Their man purchased hair. All you guys that purchase hair, I love it. But you purchased hair. Like me, I accept my hairline for where it is.
Natural.
Natural. Certain man in their 20s. Purchase hair for me. And I love them. They're my bridges. But for me. PYN.
Well, you know some people are going to have some things to
pinch
say.
Pinch your nose, it stinks. You can't purchase hair in your 20s.
Some people are going to have some things to say when you start dying off your team.
Okay.
Because you
can wash that off. Go wash off your hair that you purchased. I dare you.
Wait, because you was talking about, you got a one grey that's popping out of the beard now.
No.
You got
one. Not a one.
You got one, bro, and you're thinking about things.
I saw two.
But I got two. That's light work.
It was light.
You got a
light
twin. Yeah, you got a twin.
That wasn't happy. Yeah, exactly. Zyna Khalifa, that's where it stops. About twin grey.
Now, that's where it starts, though. What? And then before you know it, bro, you start looking out in the mirror and that, and there's this one here and that. There, bam. They start peeking out.
Do you know what I liked COVID?
Go on.
COVID revealed that a lot of people have been in the grey area.
Oh, to bits.
I didn't realise. When I saw Puff Daddy in the grey area, I say, yo, he's old.
Big and serious, bro. I could not believe it. When I saw that much grey, I could not believe it, bro. And like, not that that was a bad thing.
No.
It's just, I'm not used to seeing, I just wasn't used to seeing that. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, he's really, 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 really grey.
Brother, unannounced grey hairs. Come on, my guy. At least do a little build up. That's not like the man that just got bald. Because when they grow it back, I expect the grey. But when you've just been...
The Silver Fox thing, I think, would... Like, if he embraced it, neatened it up, because when we did see him, he didn't have a trim either, so it looked even extra bad. He had bare grey and no trim. If he had the trim, but with that grey, I think he's a handsome man.
Listen, I'm not here to talk about the way it aesthetically looks to anybody. I'm just saying it just shock value.
Yes.
If I see grey hair, I associate that with old people. No matter what, some people are just moving like Peter Pan and I'm here for it.
Mm.
Then all of a sudden, when your ting looks like it's about to rain, I'm just like, huh? When did it go grey?
Yeah.
Build up for me. Let me know. Like I had. I'm letting people know. I saw two grey hairs. Build up. So if you see me later on, that air, rain cloud, I've told you. Diddy didn't give me no intro, bro.
Devlin had grey hairs at 22.
Early.
He was like the youngest Don with grey hair.
Early.
From super, super early. But I think more young people are getting grey hairs now.
They're stressed.
Yeah.
They're too aware. They're too aware, too early. I'm seeing man with bald patches at 23.
Yeah, that's true. Facts.
Am I lying?
No, facts.
I'm seeing bald patches very early for the youth them. Stop being aware. Get off the internet. Go outside, man.
That's a hard one for people to deal with, though, big and serious. That's the conversation. The bald thing. Like a bald patch.
It must be, though. Just imagine, for at one point in your life, all of a sudden, like when you pull the bottom of the bath and you see a spiral, there's a spiral on your headpiece and no hair can grow.
And it's getting bigger and bigger.
I know Specs is Vex. I can see it.
Is that his thing?
What?
Well, he's got to stop perming off his thing, bro, because when you start perming it off, that's not doing your hair any good, man.
Do the mugs.
Yeah, bald it off.
Come on, fam.
Balding a beard thing works. But I remember time ago when we did an episode, 12 Things Men Fear But Don't Talk About, and one of the things that came up was hair, but we didn't talk about it from a perspective of being bald. We talked about it from a perspective of, like, being hairy. You know, like, I don't know if you were hairy. I was hairy when I was young. So that was a little insecurity for me, having hair on my chest and all these types
of things.
Serious? Yeah. Lightly.
Bruh.
That was a light insecurity for me.
I had no hair. That was an insecurity for me.
Really?
What do you mean? There's no hair. I'm looking like nothing. Like a fresh baby's bottom my whole life. When I got a little piece of hair here, I couldn't believe it. Especially the Turkish youths. They were taking a mick. That man had beards at 15. Big beards.
Yeah.
Crazy. I remember looking at myself and everyone's like doing the beard thing and facial hair, and people used to say to you, oh, go drink some alcohol, put some hairs on your chest, all that type of stuff. I'd run a joke, but I'd be like, I need a hair, man. This is crazy.
I hear it still. Because you connect that with being older.
Getting old.
Yeah. You want to be older.
You want to have a little... You see what I'm saying? Your dad's doing the raising thing. You see the little videos of son and the father doing the... Big one never happened for me.
Mm.
Only getting hair now, though.
One of my good friends had braids. And then I don't know where the transition went from the braids to the bald thing. No, actually, he had braids, then he did the load thing, just the fade and whatever. Then it went to bald. But I didn't know that there was a bald issue. I just thought, because it suited him so much, he had the bald head with the beard and whatnot. I just thought, he's just doing his wave thing. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? It was only until one day it came up in a conversation, man's bald by force. And that was a problem for man. Like, that was a big issue. It was hard to accept. Didn't want to talk about it. Now, I'm like, I genuinely did not know. Had no idea. But being bald for some people is a hard thing to accept. Hard.
What's that thing you got beside you again?
Temple Care. Honorable shout out to Temple Care. If you want to get proper moisturizer for your face and whatnot, and you're just starting your skincare journey, I'm telling you, this is the place to be. 1,000,000%.
Now, we didn't do that back in the day. But I did take care of my hair because there was just hairdressers in the family. So I knew all of the right things to you, whether it be Dax or certain sprays for your hair to maintain it, to keep it healthy. And that's helped me. That's the reason why the hair, even at this age, is still going long. And some of my brethren are bald. And I'm like, so what did you do when you were younger? Big man, all they did was got a haircut and used a spray. And I'm like, this is hair. The way you take care of most things, you need to maintain this hair. So I'm glad that the education is out here for skincare and hair products for the man then, because I think moving forward, more people will have healthier hair for a long period of time, because there's certain rasta, man.
Brother, oh, everything's proper. But there's certain men, though, rasta men that I know, that have long locks, but they still have the cup.
What, the bull pack?
Yeah, 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 but they're still true to their team.
That's not true.
That's still true. They're still true to their team.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
That's like a butcher's and you sell phones. You got to make a choice. It's either you're bald or you're going to have dreads. Nah, because
they can still grow at the sides.
Nah.
They can still do the crown. You know what I mean? No, wait, is it? It's the crown, isn't it? What do they call it? The crown? Was it the bald or is the hair?
Nah.
Either way, if you can grow around the sides and you grow it out and whatnot, you're still doing true to your thing.
That means from bird's eye view, you look like a tarantula. That's
100 million percent.
That's disgusting.
100 million percent.
That just doesn't feel. Imagine Zidane with plaits down the side.
That's exactly what it would be. But you know what it is though? At least a man staying true to his principles.
What's that?
What, the principles outside of just the hair?
I don't want to go to that school. That hair teacher looks like he's a mess. I don't like them principles. I don't like that principle.
But Rastafarianism is just more than just the hair, though.
Of course it is. But there's barred Rastas as well. They accept their journey. Sometimes just accept the transition. Don't try and pretend this is not happening. Why are you trying to pretend that you're not bald and put a little hair around the side?
No. The ones that I'm saying I've seen ain't cut. They're not like getting the locks and then twisting it over this side to cover the bald thing.
No, they've just got it there.
Yeah, so they just, whatever the hair grows, it grows.
No.
Hey, man locks up their beard.
I see that.
Yeah.
I like that, but I would let the Rasta man know, obviously it's got nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with me because I'm poet. Big man, make a choice.
What are you saying? Stick what? Do
make
one or
a
the
choice.
Other?
If you didn't do the work you was meant to do prior to keep your hair looking good, there are some exceptions. I'm fully aware. Alopecia. Some man just lose their hair. I get it. I ain't chatting to you, man. I'm talking to the man that didn't maintain their hair and now they're in a predicament. Bald and plaits. No, BP. You gassed up. Take a choice. You're either doing the bald thing or the plaits thing. Don't do BP. You can't do both. I'm not having it.
Yeah, some is a genetics thing, isn't it, as well. Your dad's, if your dad was bald, was your dad bald?
Come on.
He was bald?
Come on.
By force?
Do you know what? After a little while, I didn't know.
Okay.
He just liked to just skin his head off and do his thing.
All right, cool. See, with your brother, is he's not bald, is he?
No, none of my brothers are bald.
None of your brothers are bald. Okay, so then you're
my aunt is bald.
Maybe you've got your mum's genetics on that side. Same way, like, some people carry their dad's. Some people carry their dad's dick or their mum's dick.
Whoa, man. Nah, my brother, man.
Hey, let me like, some people don't carry their dad's dick.
You want to land with
dick.
That?
They got their mum's dick. Genetics, isn't it? All right, let's move on.
Yeah, because the girl I'm seeing trying to say with the other day, yeah, I got my dad's bum. I said, you know, we
have
a
relationship
right now.
Who said that?
The girl I'm seeing is like, oh, I got my bum from my dad. I said, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
But genetics is genetics.
Big man, keep some things to yourself. Keep that gen to yourself. I don't want to hear that. Now when your dad comes around, I'm pretending I can't take a quick peek to see if it's true.
All I'm going to end it on this. If your dad has got the big wood, yeah, but you ain't, that means you got your wood from your mum.
And if you're a girl and your mum's Caucasian and her back off looks like a Toshiba, aka what Specs likes to talk about, and your dad has got a bit more shape, you got your dad's bum.
Yeah.
That means the man them like their girl's dad's bum. That's what Friday.
Hey, let's talk about gigs. Hey, firstly, thank you, bro. I still need to transfer thing, but bro, I appreciate you. Recording a pod the other day. Whatever.
What have you got? Because I've got responsibilities.
He's saying that he's all right. But since I've been in there, he's been coughing and doing all kinds of stuff.
What was that? I want to cough. I want even a sneeze.
Yeah, no, that was a phlegm thing.
Oh.
But yeah, anyway, boom. Are you going gigs ting? I was like, bro, I don't even have a ticket. Ticket sold out hella quickly.
Yes.
Didn't get one. It looks like I'm going to miss out. Probably end up having to watch it on the gram or whatnot, yeah. But do you know what? The funny thing was, bro, I didn't have a ticket, so I was fine with it. You know, like, you just accept I'm not going, innit? So, but come closer to the day, I'm glad that I had the ticket. Because as it got closer, the more I wanted to be there. At the time, when you asked me, I didn't have a ticket, I wasn't really. It's like, yeah, bro, I've seen gigs before, like, in my mind as well, like, I feel like I've seen him at his most, like, at a special point. like with that whole the KMT thing, the whipping excursion,
oh, Hannah Smith and whatnot. What a time.
And what a, and the show for that,
what a time,
will always go down as one of my favourite shows that I've ever been to. Definitely. Mm. One of my favourite shows. That was a special, special time. So I was all right with not going. Mm. But as I said, as it got closer to the time, I wanted to go, and I'm glad I did go. Mm. Honourable shout out to Mr. Hooley as well, hosting. The DJs and that were doing their thing early on and whatnot. Giggs came out, yeah. When he came out swinging, bro. I was like, bruh. He was going banger after banger. I thought what he was gonna do was maybe come out, do the new stuff. And you know, like, so sometimes artists do that. They come out and they do like, they might do like a newer kind of rhythm. And like the excitement of them coming out is what holds that newer rhythm up a bit. Mm-hmm. So even if that new rhythm didn't slap as hard, the excitement of the actual artist coming out is what kind of, everyone's got their phone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
100%.
So I kind of thought that was the vibe that he was going for. This Don was going straight into the classics immediately. He went 25 minutes of just straight up, just murkage, bro. And it was good to see from my perspective, like, watching Giggs as a rapper, as a, like, his personality, like, as he's grown within, like, being in front of a camera, but also how he's grown in front of an audience, it's like you can see how comfortable he's got in that. Like, he seems so confident. Like, at Hammersmith, he was confident, but I feel like he had, from my perspective, he'd got into this place and had been in this space, and it was like, this new thing was going on. He's obviously himself, but this new thing's going on. It's mad. It's a whole load of gas and whatnot. This time, it feels like a grown type of confidence. A grown... Mm. You get what I'm saying? So, I love that part of the show, bro. And I actually started thinking to myself, he's going to run out. This is too early. He's doing way too much too early. Like, how are they going to... How is he going to maintain this? Is he not going to do the Skepta and Kanye thing? 4 rhythms, maybe... 4 rhythms each.
Yeah.
How is
yeah,
it gonna
yeah,
work? Is it not gonna be? Is it not gonna be like that until Diddy came out? Then Diddy was doing his thing, and like obviously there was a section of people in there that was super excited to see Diddy or whatever. Thought Diddy was cool. Obviously, you know, I felt like after about 10 minutes he seemed kind of tired.
he could do with a gym visit.
Yeah. He definitely seemed a bit tired in that. But then I think when that part where I noticed Diddy was getting a bit tired, I feel like he then started to find an extra level of excitement when he was seeing what was going on in and around him. So not just him, but also like, you know, Giggs bringing out his son and there's all of these other little elements that were happening. I think the excitement dashed away the tiredness and he got an extra second lease of energy and was jumping up and down the place and just doing his thing. How did you see it? What was your thoughts of the show?
First of all, Giggs is a really good performer.
He is, isn't it?
He's a really, really good performer.
Big up Big Ride as well, sorry. I'm sure that's his DJ. If I got that wrong, then sorry, but I'm sure Big Ride has always been his DJ. He was very on point.
Crazy.
Very on point.
Big up Kais, big up Dubs.
Dubs!
Big up Tef, big up Boost. Am I missing anyone out?
You said Tef.
Big up. Son. Big up. Suspect.
These
were great. Do you know what it is? We got to take a look at it. This is how I looked at it right there and then. This is when it's like, maybe I am very fortunate that I've been in this job or in this, whatever it is, for a long period of time. When I first listened to Giggs, Diddy was Diddy.
Yeah, facts.
So at this point in time now, how many years later, where Diddy still Diddy, but Giggs is Giggs.
Mm.
Do you know how nice it feels to know I was part of this moment?
Mm.
That's why I felt it was important for us to be there. This is a moment. This is a moment where the man that has pioneered or helped pioneer hip hop in the States for so long has been a key advocate, like a key component of hip hop in the States. You take a look at the things that he's been associated with. You take a look at the achievements that he's made. He's on stage in England, in West London, next to Giggs. we had to be there. When people were not like, when people were not too bothered about going, I was like, look, I get it, but this is not another gig show.
Yeah, facts.
This is more iconic than that. This would be something that later on down the line we appreciate, but maybe at the time we just, because there's so much going on, we don't really take credit for it. And then I take a look at all the moments that happened. And for me, just knowing that people like Tef, Boost, like Boost was in prison doing a madness, what, probably 10 years ago, watching Diddy thinking, oh, maybe one
day. He got 10 years. He was in jail. He was in jail for 10 years, I think.
And now he's on stage
yeah.
with Diddy.
Yeah, it's mad.
My brother, Dubs, on stage. Like, are we not taking a look at the crop of people that are on stage with this iconic hip-hop legend, superstar?
It's mad.
And Giggs is responsible almost for hosting all of this. I bet you Bucks on stage.
Bucks there. Yeah.
This
yeah,
is what
Bucks
I'm telling there. You. For me, honestly, like when I see that, yeah, I see so much things, but one of the things that I see in all aspects of everything, and I haven't really spoken about the show because this to me is the show, like it's just the moment for me.
Mm.
Bro, that is the definition of consistency from the people around you, from the music you make, from how hard you work, from the amount of bangers you do, like everything around you screams consistency. Buck is still there. Dubs is still there. You still got street anthems. You're still a respected person in the individual. You still got the same individuals around you, whether they're musicians, whether it's Buck, whatever. You just grow. You never take away. You never subtract. You just seem to be growing. And that picture right there, ML, your son's on stage, bro.
Nah, that's the coldest thing. And like, you know what is so cold on, about bro, that is man. They both did it.
Diddy
had his son.
And my man had
his son. Cold.
Like, more than anything, more than, should I judge the show, more than anything like that, because we can do that to the cows come home.
Yeah.
My thing is, this is one of the most iconic moments. People are not going to understand and appreciate it right now if they don't. Maybe if you had to be there. But I will say to you, I am so proud to be a part of this moment. And thank you, Whitney, my G, as well.
Yeah, because, big, man. Big up, Whitney.
It's a big, yeah, it was a big moment.
Just as well, on top of what you were saying, yeah, the consistency, but also, like, staying in the mix and being and having integrity.
Integrity.
Staying in the mix and having integrity. That's what that looks like. Hey, Dub, like, you don't see Dubs outside like that, but look how clean Dubs looked.
I was messaging, the kid of his, me and Dub, I was talking to Dubs a couple of days before that. Yeah. Sent me a couple of idioms.
Did he, yeah? Lie. Yeah, I need to hear them still.
Dubs, I'll send them to, Dubs is cold. Got rid of with Rich, I was going crazy.
Man.
Come on, my brother, man. But he didn't even bring anything, he didn't even bring it up. Is that Chucks?
Yeah.
Come on, he didn't even bring it up.
You what?
He didn't even bring it up. It was his birthday the other day. I'm saying happy birthday, Dubs, all of that, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
He didn't even bring this up. So now I'm just looking at him on stage. I'm thinking, oh my God.
He came out early. It was the second tune, I think.
He looked.
Second tune. He just walked out. I said, oh my God. Immediately, I'm like, oh, this is going to be mad. Do you know what? That's another, this is the next thing I liked, yeah. I liked that even in the segments where it wasn't them, but say, let's say like Boost came out with Tef or whatnot and Suspect and even like his son, it wasn't a, you know what, let them man warm up thing. It wasn't that. It was, when we go out, we're all going out together.
We're all there.
Yeah, we're all going out together. We're
all there. And don't get it twisted, like, honestly, there's a, bro, the excitement I felt knowing, seeing Tef on stage.
Yeah.
And Boost. This is mad in my head, bro. Like, bro, look how long we've been doing it. We're on stage with Puff Daddy. I say we, like it's me, I wasn't there, but.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
On stage with these, man. Honestly, Giggs, what you've managed to achieve and the consistency in the things that you achieve, because usually some people just stop after Drake.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
The one Drake cosign, they just stop. Yeah. You've got the Jigga cosign on a DJ Khaled track. The same DJ Khaled doesn't say Free Palestine, but that's another story. And then we've got...
Of course not.
Did he? And you in Miami at the football match with Beckham, and there's so many achievements, and you just keep outdoing what you know the levels that you set.
Yeah.
Honestly, Giggs, I can't even.
Yeah, I love the his son's name's ML, right? Yeah. I love that little mo, and I think more than anything, it was like seeing them on stage together, but also seeing Giggs hyping him up and like. And hyping up the crowd in it, and that is, you could see how proud he was in that moment. Because that's the first time his son, I think his son said, he's never performed before. like in front, especially in front of an audience like that. So that was the first time for him. And then a little while after that, you see Diddy, like Christian.
Kim Combs,
yeah, his name's Christian, isn't it?
He loves a Harlem shake.
Yeah, he loves a Harlem shake.
He loves a Harlem. He's the only one keeping it alive.
Yeah, he's like really keeping that era like alive, that no one's doing that shit. It's just him and his other brother, Quincy, I think. And there's the next one.
It's not Quincy, it's the other one that's keeping it alive. Quincy just on some cool shit.
Quincy's the older one, isn't
it? Yeah, he was there as well.
It's Justin.
Justin
was
He
there.
Loves it.
Yeah. But then man, yeah, there was all there. But yeah, that was good. It was a good thing to be a part. And like, I think the end of it, I started thinking, because you know my thing, bro, I need to leave before everyone's leaving. Yeah, I need to leave before everyone's leaving. So I think Diddy was on, and it looked like it was finishing. And I'm saying, rah, nah, like, love Diddy, but Diddy can't end this, though. He can't be the one to, he can't, it can't be him doing the last tune. I'm sorry, it just can't. I'm thinking, what tune ain't Diddy done? I mean, ain't Giggs done?
The anthem.
The national anthem. Oh my God. You see when that started going off? Fucking hell. And the thing is, you know what, from a deeper one, yeah? It's like, obviously I'm in the moment, I'm enjoying it, I know the bar and whatnot, yeah? But there's also still a part in my mind that's like, I love that Diddy's watching this.
Yes.
Like, I love that he's actually see, because he would know, I mean, he's been here for a long time. He's been coming in and out of here for a long time. So you can tell that he's been here for years because of the references and things that he says and whatever. It's like, you know that he's been around and been coming here. I remember years ago when I worked for Jackie Davidson, she sent me to one of his parties years ago. And this was like, the whole climate of what was going on at the time is completely different. This party was like everything that wouldn't really be for us so much. Do you know what I mean? It was in Mayfair. It was like around a bunch of people that are like, you know, this just weren't our thing really. But Pharrell was there though. Pharrell was there, a couple other people that was there. It was just the typical West End kind of thing back then without anyone really there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like, I love the fact that even though he would have known that there's a national anthem that happens here, to actually see it.
To witness it.
I was loving that. I was loving contributing to him looking at what the hell is going on. Because I'm up on the balcony. I treat my niggas like, no, I'm going crazy up there, bro.
Let's be honest. We're so proud of this, you know.
Yeah, like, 100.
As much as we're a part of it, we're so proud to be a part of this. You know where I'm coming from. And we will maybe not realize how much we're on this until we go abroad. And someone tries to say something about the UK or something like that, but like, what, our music scenes, this will fully defend our corner
to bits.
So we respect Puff Daddy, we respect Diddy. So the moment Diddy's coming and taking a look and being a part of something that we've all contributed, it's taken all of us to build this, but Giggs is a very, very massive part of this huge puzzle. When he holds witness to the effect that Giggs has in his community, and you don't have the same, you can't take the mic, there's no song that you can do that will equate to the same type of response that Giggs does, and you're Diddy. Yeah. And you know that.
Yeah.
But today, in Shepherd's Bush, that doesn't mean as much as being Giggs. Mm. So maybe Diddy, everywhere else in the world, mean more to Giggs. You probably are more important than Giggs in so much places, but just knowing that there was one night, Shepherd's Bush, and I was there with my people then, where there's one night, Diddy, where you don't mean one tenth of what Giggs means right now.
It's not all about you.
It's not all about you. Respectfully.
Yeah.
And you have to witness it
and
admire it as well. It makes me so happy to be a part of this. I can't.
And I think, if I'm speculating, I think in that moment also, Diddy knows that.
100%.
Like, obviously, I'm Diddy, but you're Giggs. That's the next sick thing. I got a half of my bad. Half a. So I don't know if it's a hand thing or if it's this.
What do you mean?
Half of my bad.
You got half of my bad.
Yeah, I've got one.
Why?
Black King Gods.
How crazy was it when he done it on stage? Just be honest.
I got it then.
It was not, brother.
It felt it in that environment,
brother.
There, it felt right.
It was.
It
crazy.
Definitely felt right there. I still stand by. Crazy. I still stand by the voice note that you got. if that was in the tune, that would be mad to me.
We all know that, but my brother.
Sometimes, this is one of the reasons why I love going to live shows. One of my favorite things in the world, I say it all the time, I love going to live shows, One of the reasons why I like going to live shows is because sometimes there's some music, that I hear it and it's just okay. Or I might not even like it, but I go to the live show and I understand it a little bit more. I still might not love it, but I get it more.
Yeah.
Sometimes I listen to something at home and I love it and I go to a live show and I hate it. It's just the way that it works, isn't it? But when I saw that, I was like, okay, I understand this more. Even though there was a song that he did that didn't get a big forward, because I don't know if the album penetrated the way that it maybe could have penetrated, But that song with Dave East, Starlet, I love that tune. I can't even lie. When I heard it out there as well, I just like, and one of the things about that song is originally, was it about a year ago, a year and a half ago, I heard a rhythm with the same sample that Larry June used. I can't remember what the name song? Of the tune, but it's got the same sample. Yeah. So every time as soon as the sample hits, immediately I think of Larry June. Fuck with Larry June. Honourable shout out to David as well.
David Lally's a lit guy, man.
But there's, for me, going and hearing that part live as well, even though it wasn't doing a madness, I was like, nah, this sounds cold. And I'm seeing him just like, gigs on the stage, just rapping a couple elements of it. And bro, let me play it quickly. This one. Huh? Yeah.
Is it? Accepting it. I like that.
Yeah, because I see when Dave East part comes on, he's waiting for his bit, innit? So he's just walking around on the stage just saying the Dave East part or whatever. I'm like, nah, this is fine. I look at attention to detail maybe too much, innit? So I'm watching certain body languages, movements, all of these type of things. I'm like, nah, this just looks cold. I like this. I'm going home and playing this straight away.
Bro, I won't lie to you. The whole, honestly, that was a great show, bro. Like, I tried to be all miserable after. It's like, oh, I didn't get to hear this, I didn't get to hear that. But realistically, bro, I watch gigs and Diddy perform. And do you know what? I could be wrong. I don't think that's ever happening again.
No, it's not happening again.
And I can say I was there.
Yeah. Look, there's always, the thing is, I understand, for me, I love this so much. And we always talk about, we have a podcast. So I always like to have conversations that are beneath the surface. I don't like having surface level conversations. Yeah. So, you know what? There's always going to be some critiques. There's always going to be something that you might not like or whatever. But I just think that today isn't the moment for that, really.
Nah.
Because even in the moments of a little dip or whatnot in the show, it's normal. Them things always happen. More time, As a whole, I'm just happy to have been there to witness it. And I'm just happy to see where Giggs is. I feel like he is, it's age appropriate. It's integrity. It's confidence. It's it's everything that it's supposed to be, and we're witnessing it now. Again, having a podcast, sitting and talking about music, dissecting things and whatnot, I'm always sit here and talk about. I love doing that. I like dissecting things. But let me tell you something. See, when I go across the pond, no one can't diss my team.
Nope.
Are you crazy? I can. You can't.
You don't understand it.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
I can. You can't. Innit. There's nothing more than I like loving going to these places, and being representing this.
Well, you know what it means to you.
What? You remember one time being in Texas, I'm wearing, Trap Star and that. People are coming up to me, oh my God, you wearing Traps? I'm like, yeah, bro, this is our team. You get what I'm saying? I'm not coming here trying to back in the day, that would have been our team.
Echo.
Going over there trying to do exactly what they're doing. Not anymore, bro.
We got our own identity. We're happy with it.
And we embrace it to bits.
What? Furthermore, you embrace it now to bits.
Yeah, exactly. You embrace it now.
You embrace it now. You understand. You didn't before, but you understand now. Yeah. So
some are wave hopping, though. Some are wave hopping, but I swear it goes sometimes.
It's always the chosen few. Shout out Giggs, though, man. Shout out the whole of SM1. You, man, put on a great night. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jamaica, once again.
Oh, I feel like I heard talk of them raising money for sickle cell, by the way.
Is that what it was about?
Yeah.
That's so sensational.
If that is the case, extra big up for that as well.
It was definitely a charity. Definitely a charity thing.
And also, I did an episode time ago. This must have been about 2 years ago now. Could even have been three, with someone called A-Star who has sickle cell. So I would like, I'd advise you to go and have a look at that. Go and have a look at that. Listen to that. It was a really good conversation. He just talked about having sickle cell, what sickle cell is, all of these type of things and whatnot. So yeah. And one other thing. So the next thing that I'm doing, which actually was inspired by Vooj.
Okay.
Vooj did an interview maybe 2 years ago. Maybe it might have been before COVID. No, it was before COVID. I'm sure it was before COVID. They've gone to his yard or the place that he was staying and he had all of his football shirts up.
I remember that.
Amazing. And they were talking to him about the football shirts and he was talking about what each shirt represented for him at the time and the games and whatever. And I thought, that's cold. Records. So from that moment, I started doing it with live show merch because I like going to live shows, isn't it?
Oh, have you got loads of live show merch?
I've got loads of live show merch. Like t-shirts and stuff like that. Most that I haven't worn, but I've just got them. Do you know what I mean? But I missed that because they've got one.
Yeah.
One like only merch. So I've rushed out and forgot to grab one. So hopefully, I'm going to go and check the website now anyway. But if there's anyone that can help me, get one of them, please.
Or we can do this. Giggs, you man, I love you. Every time we say something bad, you're aware. Now we're saying something good.
Yes, can we do get something. A do something now.
Can we get a t-shirt, please? Yeah?
Send the voice note now.
Can I get a t-shirt, please? I doubt you might see this. But can we get a t-shirt?
This one's too nice. People don't like it. Nice. It's too nice.
You don't share.
When it's too complimentary. You know what? You lot ain't sharing it like that. You get what I'm saying?
You know, you don't hit me up as well? So Wiley hit me up this week. Merckxton hit me up this week. I've said so much nice things. I want people to hit me up when I say nice things. Now.
Right then.
That's my new thing.
Yeah.
Chucky said, and I understand it now. I'm joking. Merckxton was great. Wiley was great as well. But Merckxton, shout out to Wiley. Consistent.
And stop spreading this fucking foolishness with under Wiley's name, by the way. Stop doing that.
What is it?
See someone posting it was a tweet that started going around, which was a screenshot of something that wasn't true. It was, I'm not even going to repeat it, but it was just like someone had made something that had made it seem like Wiley was saying something about a certain type of people or whatever. And it wasn't the case. But
You man that's trying to, honestly, you lot, yeah. You man that are trying to talk down on Wiley's name and all of that, man, just allow it.
Yeah.
Allow it, man, just allow it. If you wasn't there, if you don't understand the heritage, if you don't know what these people mean, you're a witness, man. Just keep being a witness. Stop trying to be a participant.
Right then. Skepta dropped, by the way. Just quick rap thing. Don't always want to talk about the dons that we always praise because we always praise Kings and Skepta in it. But you know what? I heard this today and I did have it on repeat today. Skepta core.
Well, I sent you something, Chucky. You sent me nothing back.
You sent me a tune.
I sent you something.
Oh, I know what you sent me.
You sent me nothing back. But carry on, let's talk about this song, man. Time. Sometimes I don't text you back, but I never mean to disrespect you. I'm on the road trying to do this thing. I know you see where man's trying to get to. What? I've been around the world and back. I ain't met anybody I want to be with more than you. That's why when the sun goes down at night, man, I'm calling you. The girl of my dreams. You ain't trying to be part of the scene.
This is one that you got to listen to, like, loud. And you hear the production better. But it's good, man. So it's good to see. Even though I know he said he was retiring a couple of years ago.
No, never.
Didn't he say that?
No.
So that was a lie.
We just got. When did he say it?
Didn't he say it in an interview?
When did he say it?
I feel like you're playing a game here, so you have to tell me.
Skepta's not retiring. Skepta's here, man. He said he's not retiring. When people keep saying it to him, he's like, no, I've got music. He's releasing music.
So where did. I'm sure. Did he not say it, though?
So basically, there was something. Maybe someone can correct me. Maybe I'm wrong. But I saw something where he hinted. Well, he was very evasive, so he wasn't clear.
Okay.
So then someone, people just assumed and took it as that. But then another interview he done, but he would be asking about, he's like, no, I've got projects coming out. And obviously I've been, and there's that video.
Correct, if he's wrong, by the way.
He released like three videos of one song broken down into three parts. And like one part, he's sitting down with Clint. The next part is in the back of the Maybach and all of that. So, Skeppy's here, man. Skeppy's here.
It's being rich and black.
Rich and black.
To bits as well. He's, yeah.
The Mandem are just rich and black. It's, you know what? So lit.
I know, it's crazy. It's, you know, lit, like, man. When I see, like, the dinners and that, that these are having sometimes, I'm like, yeah, man, I just love these things.
You see Diddy sing with Diddy and Giggs at Sheesh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wish I was there.
Yeah. By the way, Kano's, Kano or Kane Robinson, whichever you want to refer to him, he's the only one who knows how to hold a wine glass, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out there. You know my observation skills is up loud.
That's good now. Now that you said something bad, we're going to get the t-shirt.
He's the only one I saw holding the wine glass correctly. But yeah, anyway, we like that still.
Shout out Ochi as well.
Who?
Shout out Ochi.
Is that, you tasting all right?
You lot hate when I eat on the pod, but you also call me skinny. Let me eat, man.
Just quick observation as well. No, there's no award shows this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no rated. Rated usually in November. Not ain't bad. Seen nothing on them. No Mobos. There's no award shows. Those shits are expensive. I'll be honest with you.
Very.
Them things are expensive, man. Things are expensive.
And do you know what?
Obviously, a lot of them run by sponsorships and stuff.
But we need them.
Yeah.
We need them. Bring them back. You can't get rid of them.
Yeah, there's no... Unless they're going to do what the Brits do. The Brits usually is in February, isn't it, I think? Yeah. But, yeah, this is usually at this point. So I'm curious to understand... What's this here? You got on the screen? Oh, you're just having a look. Yeah, I'm curious to see or to understand why there isn't any... I wonder if it's got something to do with... So a lot of award shows do get a lot of money through sponsorships, yeah? Mm. But have you noticed that a lot of brands seem to not have that much money at the moment?
100%. And also on top of that, yeah, I got to watch how I say this because I don't want to be wrong. It's not about being wrong. It's my opinion.
Speculate.
I think it's very difficult to measure the success of artists within the urban demographic. It's not like the commercial place. The commercial place, everybody's got the same job, more or less. In the urban stratosphere, quote unquote urban stratosphere, sometimes one man's achievement, which may not equate to the same financially as you, can be much better than your achievement.
Hmm.
Whereas I feel like in the commercial standpoint, it's just how many songs did you sell that week, per se? So it's like it's a more easier mechanic to depict, or a more easier mechanic to break down, per se. But the success of certain artists, like for example, when you see an award ceremony and Rich didn't win back in the day, when Rich didn't win a Mobo, they can justify it with record sales. But the thing that we're trying to say it's wrong, we have no justification for it because it's not on paper. It's just something we know. This has been the most successful artist. Coming from where he's coming from and what he's had to do to be where he is in comparison to, was it Ed Sheeran or Tinchy Stroud, whoever won that year. Like, there's no comparison. So I'm kind of happy that there's no award ceremony, but upset at the same time because as much as there's some bad, there is some good. You shed light on some artists.
Yeah, definitely.
They get upscaled. Yeah. They get a new lease of life. The award might mean a lot for them, but I think it's very difficult to measure who's the winner. It's very, very difficult to measure.
Yeah, I think some certain elements... That makes sense. Yeah, certain elements of it is very relative. Some isn't.
Mm.
But like, yeah, I hear it. I agree with the element of it. There's some elements of it that I don't really like. And then there's elements of it that are really good. Like the spotlight on certain artists and how it can raise their stock and what it does for them and also how inspiring it can be from some artists and stuff like that. That's the part I really do like. I think if I'm going to speculate, I could be super wrong here.
Mm.
I think it's a money thing.
100%.
I think it's a money thing. At one point, brands were throwing money at absolutely damn near anything, especially at black stuff, because there was a lot of performing going on at one point too.
Come on.
There was a lot of performing going on. So at the time that there was all this performing, there was a whole load of money in the performance. Sorry to cut
you. Do you remember them stupid videos of Caucasian people saying, I'm ashamed of, in black and white? Oh, do me a favor, you wankers.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. But also, even before all of that, like, that you could get money to do stuff, and you still can.
Yeah.
But I wonder if at the moment, because there seems to be a real mess in our economy, in regards to business and brands and stuff like that, it's been harder to get money to put on a show in the way that these guys would like to put on a show. And money will come from somewhere at some point, and it will happen at some point. But I just think if the money was there, it would definitely happen. That's my thinking.
I hear you, but it's just like, how are you going to get a return?
Well, so the brands don't, the money that usually is given to do it isn't even about a financial return. It's a visual return. And also sometimes it is about, sometimes, let's be clear, sometimes it's a tax write-off thing too. Sometimes it's elements of that. If you've been making so much dough, look, Christmas parties, when you look at all the Christmas parties, work Christmas parties that have been happening and that, like, this is a tax write-off. This isn't, oh, because let's do it because we just want to be nice.
We care about everyone.
And we care about everyone. Nah, you know what? Let's flip in. We got a whole bunch of money. We got to pay certain things by certain times or whatnot. Let's just open up the bar. Let's get everyone here from work and whatnot. Let's open up the bar and everyone can go and do their thing. We'll pay for it. Like, that's that, isn't it? That's, and that's part of the game that is being played. But at the moment, like, some people are making a hell of a lot of money, but a lot of people aren't. A lot of brands ain't at the moment. Some are just still trying to figure it out. So I think there's a big element of that too.
So whilst that's happening, I'm kind of happy that then this whole thing isn't coming, because like, it's funny how we're speaking about rap being competitive last week. A lot of people jumped in my DM speaking to me about it and so on and so forth. I found it very interesting, some of the conversations. One thing I will say is the place we are at with music is that money and success apparently go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So if you don't look like success, it's difficult for you to be successful right now, it feels like to me. You need to look like success, whereas music should sound like success to me, not look like success, because it's a sonical experience.
Yeah.
So if you ain't got the chain and you ain't got this, you ain't got that, I just look at what certain rappers are doing when they do the Daily Duppies, all the things that they do, and I'm just like, rah. I understand, you know, looks are a huge part of it, but...
Yeah, aesthetics is always like...
People until
always
we get it right, let's not have an award ceremony, to be fair.
Nah, there could always be one. Oh, but that's why, you know what, Sonical Experience, we've talked about him before.
Yeah,
but we have. Quellum, I just... That is a very good Sonical Experience there with his album, Mellow. It has got so much... I can't talk highly enough about this. Even the, have you been listening to it? It's so sick, bro. The production is, but you got to listen to it in the right environment. Like, when you're just at home, bro, just pull it on. And you, it will take you back. I guarantee you, parts of this project will take you back to a certain part of life. Being in Tottenham, being around like elements of grime and whatnot. Even the Tinty Strider thing is hard on here. Wait, let me play a little bit of it, huh? It's very nostalgic.
I'm listening to Love Unlimited right now.
Oh, yeah?
So will it take me away from that?
You should just give it a go. Just a touch of mellow smoothness.
What? Make you money. This year, kind of, that's Tinchy.
There's barely spare those in there.
Why are you doing that? That makes me love them. Some would say the money trees just never eat, but in my dreams, catch leaves just fly about mischievously. I'm like, bless me, please. Oh! Sterling, cause the wells run dry. Look, you will come hero, cause the whip gleam nights. I'm just tapping card. This you is cold. Reality bites, and it's counting out the readies. Wonder who eats tonight. I gotta keep the ship steady. So, this year I'm trying to get mainstream money. So why are you not... you know the front cover? The front cover? Is that Tinchy?
But this thing is mad.
This, you see the front cover? Doesn't it look like a very artistic or very left...
So he's in a play... He's basically in a playground with a buggy and his child, yeah? The album's called Mellow, which is... the name of his child, but that's where the Skepta reference also is in there. So there's a part of Skepta talking about him being a dad too. Bruv, it's cut, bro.
But that looks like Playtime's Over, Wiley.
Oh yeah,
that's what I thought when I first saw it.
Go to Playtime Over quickly.
So it looks like this guy here has captured my musical heart. I feel like he just knows what he's talking about. I'm over there.
There's what next one. Hold on, wait 1 second.
He got Tinchy Strider on a rhythm.
Had a lot of gal in my life. I'm big nov and I'm bad on a man. You can't chat dick, yeah. Separate, never been desperate. No young nov feature. Young nov feature in there as well. Yeah, it's hot, bro. It's very, very.
Boy,
that's, why that's why I'm bringing it up again.
What you have to.
Next step, innit?
Huh?
Like, this is. Look, there's no children here.
What is this?
Wiley.
No, oh, I hear you.
Playtime, bro. No, you got it.
Yeah, but that's.
Playtime's over.
Come on, fam. And he's got the.
With his you.
I love this thing. I love Wiley, as we know.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, that's why I thought to myself. And I looked at the this is what's so crazy. I looked at it and said, I think I'm going to like this. Purely because to choose that aesthetic as your front cover, your mind's in a particular place.
Yeah.
It's not just my random thought. And the man's got the pram.
I'm going to the live show, bro.
Oh, 100%.
When it is, I don't know when he's doing it, but I'm going. I'm definitely over there.
Why are you not telling me people like Tinchy Strider are this? You know that's my thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I brought it up again, bro. I mentioned this last week, but I'll bring it up again because it's that good. The last crazy. Thing I've got.
That is crazy.
The last thing I've got is a complete change of conversation.
Okay, we're going left.
Suella Braverman.
Who the hell is that?
She is the Home Secretary. And she's had some very ridiculous things to say. Over a certain time period. One being she was obsessed with the fact of getting the plane over to Rwanda with immigrants. Not sure if you know about that.
Oh, well, I'm also obsessed with the fact that this man here is a liar. You are ill.
You're ill, bro.
I'm not ill, bro. I promise.
What?
You promise?
Are we seeing the same
this
thing?
This man is lying, bare face.
Why are you sneezing so much? Why are you sneezing and coughing?
I'm telling you right now.
And got a blocked nose.
The way my body is that when there is temperature changes or pressure changes,
you go ill.
My body bugs out and I just have allergies all around, bro.
So you're ill all the time.
So my room's super hot, outside super cold. I wore a jacket, I was super warm. I came out, it was super cold. Down here, it's kind of warm.
So you're ill all the time.
Bro, you see me sneezing every single day, bro.
So you're ill every day.
I'm sneezing, I'm not ill. I'm just sensitive to temperature changes, bro. I've noticed this.
So you're ill every day.
Brother.
Chucky's a dickhead. Back to what Chucky was talking about, Home Secretary.
Not.
I guarantee by the end of the ep, I'll be cool.
Oh, yeah, she recently talked about the Palestinian marches as hate marches.
As what?
Hate marches. Yeah, she's ridiculous.
Did she mean that she doesn't like the month or?
So basically, yeah. So in this march, you would have, let's say, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm gonna go out here on the limb and say maybe there's like 3% of people that use this march to highlight an element of their bigotry. That is 3% of how much people have been touching the road.
Last time I heard was 500.
500,000. So probably about 3%, probably could even be less than that, yeah? So now it's a hate march. It's kind of like when people, you know, you've got, what, 2.5 million people that go to carnival, and then you have 19 arrests, and, you know, like one person gets stabbed or whatever, which is bad, of course. But all of a sudden now, carnival is the worst place in the world to go. It is a war. It's a war zone at carnival. But Notting Hill, we need to stop it.
Before you continue, you know my theory, innit?
Go on.
This stems from school. My class was bad because we had 4 bad students, but there's 30 people in my class.
Yeah, there you go.
You make sense there of that, but please continue.
But recently now, the next thing that she's decided to do, or that she wants to do,
Egypt.
Is she sat down somewhere in her office and thought, yeah, I need to make a statement, need to do something. What can we actually do? Homeless people. Let's have a look at homeless people. Okay. There's been an increase on homelessness. I've got an idea. Tell you what we do. Let's ban tents.
What?
We're going to ban tents. We're going to stop. We want to stop people. Because her thing is that homelessness is a lifestyle choice, is what she's saying. Brother, this woman is like, I almost think at certain points, like she's doing this as an experiment. And like, somewhere within her, she finds this funny. I don't know. I mean, there's so much things that were not necessarily taken into consideration in it, yeah. And I would love to talk to somebody who is homeless. Or, yeah, someone who is... I think we was going to do that at one point. I remember you mentioned that, innit? You know, there's financial circumstances, relation... Like, yeah, I've got these written down, yeah? There's financial circumstances change. Relationships breakups can be very techie for some people, yeah? Death to somebody who is... that is the stability person. Let's just say, for example, you know, someone's mum dies. Their mum might be the person who's been
looking after
everything or whatever. And now all of a sudden you're put in a situation where you don't know what the fuck to do. Abandonment, addiction spirals out of control. Now there's loads of things that you can do about this, but not everyone has the information. There's a lot of people that, my dad almost found himself in a really, really bad situation, yeah? And he could have ended up being homeless. But luckily, he was around people that knew where you can go to for certain things, what you can do, and what you're entitled to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And also, with that being one of my really good friends that actually deals with people that are rough sleepers, he was able to be like, no, this is what you do. We're gonna go on this website and we're gonna change this word and change this and we're gonna file this letter and whatever. He just did bare things that was so helpful. And now, luckily, my dad is in a much better situation and scenario than he was
previously.
But loads of people don't have access to that information. They don't. And you add that to, like, maybe, I don't know, addiction or, you know, some type of mental illness or, you know, all these different circumstances that people could have been in. To turn around and say that it is just a lifestyle choice, that people just want to be outside in the fucking cold in a tent, is nuts to me. Yeah, there probably might be a percentage of people that, I don't know. I mean, you could always make an argument to say that some people just choose to, they might say to themselves, I remember listening to LBC one time and there were some people that were like, listen, things have become so expensive. It's so hard out here, yeah? Like dealing with the anxiety of bills has been way too much for them. They would just much prefer to just find themselves outside or be on the canal. Like some people left their homes and stuff to just go and try and live on the canal and stuff. Yeah, there are some people that do that, but it's still coming from somewhere. There's still a reason. It's for a lot of these people, it is it's the last resort, but luckily we as people find ways to adapt. So we find ourselves in these worst case scenarios. We deal with the worst case scenario and we just adapt to that worst case scenario. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah. So it's not a thing that it's not the thing that you want to do. You don't want to be on the canal. You might not want to be out in the tent or whatever. But yeah, some people find themselves there and they just adapt. And now it's like, you know what? I'd much prefer to be here than to actually deal with the stresses of fucking what it's like to have a home and be in certain environments or whatnot. It's crazy to me to sit there and say, you know what, at this time now as well, where it's cold outside and it's raining.
Freezing.
To say, you know what, yeah, we are going to ban tents. We are going to ban the charities that give these tents to people. We are going to ban them. Is insanity. It's insanity.
First thing I'll say, she's got back off.
Huh?
She's got back off.
Oh, yeah, she does, you know.
She's got back off.
Yes,
Skepta showed us a little while ago.
Oh, that's Priti Patel.
That's Priti Patel.
Bro, that's racist.
Possibly.
No, I'm joking.
This is the reason why they got rid of a boom in Simpsons. This is racism. All right, so she hasn't got back off. So now there's nothing positive to say about it. So where's she from? Is she Asian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is. I think so. Google that just quickly, though. Just to
do you know what sure. I think? This is very ignorant. People like this are overcompensating. So when they say things like that, they recognize they're Asian. But in order to be accepted by the country that you're in, just say things that you feel like culturally they may not understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an individual, like for example myself, black, will I understand coming over to this country and potentially not being able to make it work and then being homeless more than someone that lives here? Of course. They got their family here. They got everybody here. It's hard for you to be homeless if you've got cousins, uncles, whole neighbor family here. You can always get in with someone. When you're an individual from a foreign land and you come over here to try and mix it or something and it doesn't work, the potential to be homeless is so big. You're moving like you're not Asian. Like you won't have a couple of cousins that would understand this. You're moving like you was born and bred. You're English. You have white skin. That's not you. So you're overcompensating to be accepted somewhere because it seems like you to be ashamed of something else. This is a wild statement. This is just what I see, because that statement to me doesn't make any sense coming from an individual who's Asian. You should understand where the smaller percentage of people are coming from. Chucky.
Do you know what?
If you understand where I'm coming from.
I do. But you also got to look at the context of, and I don't know,
mm-hmm.
what is her upbringing like?
No, but Chucks.
Because if she's born in privilege, if she's 100%. Born in Indian privilege,
yeah,
and she's always been around money, she's come here and she's in money, she will, again, she'll be another one of those warped people who don't have an understanding of what it's like to be seen as a lower class citizen, because her thing has always been higher class.
I disagree, man. This is where I disagree.
Go.
If you are not, first of all, society sends, I'm going to go over there to come back over here. Over here is nice. Let me go over here for a second. Over here, society tries to tell everyone we're all the same. It tries to tell everyone we're all the same by saying, oh, we're all one, we're all humans, we're all this, we're all that. First of all, we're not all the same. Everybody has to accept black people are different from white people, who are different from Chinese people, who are different from Indian people. We're all different. And one thing that separates us is our culture. Our culture makes us hugely different. Why? Because our experiences are different. So even if you are privy to a lot of money and a high class lifestyle, your skin tone and your culture will give you an insight to what your people are going through. Whether you choose to acknowledge it is entirely up to you. So I genuinely believe white boy from Norwich has the ability to ignore homelessness to an extent, because I believe that if he has a large family in this country, they've all grown up in this country, it's difficult for you to access that homelessness. You've got too much people around you that can take you in. But is it easier to access homelessness if you just got one family here? I believe so. So if you are Asian, there is going to be examples of that at some point in the last, what? People have been coming here from what? From 1950s, 1960s, more like, there's going to be examples of that. So for you to ignore that, just because you want to do what you're doing right now, you're ignoring it. It's a choice. I refuse to believe that your upbringing didn't give you exposure to that in some capacity where you can feel empathy. You're choosing to ignore all of it. So I'm not interested. If it was America, where there's generations of black people that are just American, or generations of brown people that have just been there, fair enough. That's not the case in this country over here. So you are aware of it. You choose to ignore it to what? Be a part of the wider... And the people you're choosing to be a part of are actually a smaller percentage of a class in this country. There's going to be more working class people. There's going to be more people that are not in privilege. So everything you're doing is just against who you are. Like, to me, it just stinks. It completely and utterly stinks. Obviously, like I said, wild assumption. I haven't got enough information to come to that conclusion. But through my own life and my own experiences, I wouldn't say this is too far wrong.
No. So I agree with the majority of what you've said.
Mm.
I believe that it's a choice that she's chosen to ignore that. But I think, and this is not, I'm not giving her, like, everything that I'm saying here is not an excuse or a reason for why she's thinking what she's thinking.
Yeah.
I just know that, well, I believe that when you have some people that come from a certain level of privilege, they go, if they leave their country within that privilege, they still may not be seen as a super higher class because their skin tone doesn't necessarily match. But their privilege gives them the opportunity to still be in and amongst all of this, all in amongst this wealth, which then gives them this thing in their mind where they feel like they know what's going on, but they don't, though. Like they don't, because they're choosing to ignore it.
I hear
She's choosing to ignore it.
But I think a white person's privilege is different to a black person's privilege when it comes to money.
I agree with that.
And I just think the privilege that she has doesn't allow her to ignore. Whereas the privilege a white person has might allow them to not even ignore, but I agree.
That's why I think that her being in the position that she's in and saying these things is worse.
Yeah, 100%.
Because she should know better.
She's
in
DJ
my
Khaled.
Opinion.
She's DJ Khaled. She's DJ Khaled. This is for me. If you're in that position up there, first of all, we have to know you're educated. You have to be educated in order for you to have that position. There needs to be an awareness. So everything you're doing is premeditated, it's preempted.
Yeah.
You understand that mechanic there or that move you're making for a wider picture. Someone that's just a humanitarian, someone just likes people and wants everyone to go like in the right way in life, is going to see that and go, what are you doing? Because they have no hidden agenda when it comes to the treatment of people. We don't want someone to be treated a particular way so it can benefit me or benefit you. You would like to benefit everyone. Hey, man, this homelessness, it needs to stop. What can we do to prevent it? Because it's kind of... I hate having to walk past someone on the street pretending I can't see them. Like, it makes me feel sick and I wish I could do more. But I'm only me. There's not so much I can do.
Mm.
People like this in positions of power who have power, who
they
have
can do more.
They can do more. When you don't, it's a choice, especially 100%. If you're a Browning. If you're a Browning, you can't act like you haven't got a cousin. That's it. You're a Browning. I'm sorry. If you're a Browning in the UK.
Again, maybe they don't, though. Because remember, some of these people are just...
Every one of your cousins.
Hear what I'm saying. Whether she does or she doesn't, in my mind, she should know better. In my mind.
Yeah.
But sometimes, some of these people come from such extreme wealth. Yeah, they could... They might have a cousin that is... Let's be clear here. Yeah. I'm going to go out on the whim and say... Sometimes you go to some of these other countries, they're the worst when it comes to discriminating in their people.
Nasty.
They are nasty.
Nasty. But why?
We're all the same. See, colorism, for example. Why are you looking at me like that, bro? He's looking at me like you hate me, right?
No, he's looking at you like he's ill.
Okay, sorry. I broke my thing.
It was a sick face, but
like colorism, for example, is mad. Like, already. In certain places, especially, let's be clear, in India, if you are super dark skin, you are definitely seen as a lower... You go...
No, this is big facts. But that's big facts.
So you can have a... You can even... Big they facts. Could all have a cousin, yeah, that is... We're cousins, but one, you're dark skin, and you don't come from... And also, you know what? On top of that, you married so-and-so. So
I don't even like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't fuck with that. That's the part of culture. So anyway... I don't know whether this is something that is like a thing that is, what'd you call it? What's the word where you are
conscious or
conscious? It's like a
conscious thing,
like a brainwashing. Or... What's another word for
conditioned?
Condition. So it's like there's a conditioning already. So you've come here or you're here and you're in and amongst this privilege, and now you almost feel like, okay, because you're a part of this wealth, you've got a job now to do some things, but you're still out of touch. Because it's part of your conditioning and also part of her upbringing, an element of her upbringing. For me, it just all stinks. The idea of taking away tent is nuts to me, bro.
It's crazy.
It's insanity. Now, what there are... Can you Google this for me, by the way?
This is crazy.
Google whether there has been an increase in homelessness in maybe the last 5 years. Because I'm just curious to see. Because I'm going to take an educated guess that there probably is a massive high rise in homelessness. Yeah, one of the things that they should really be doing, as opposed to getting rid of tents, is giving more information on how putting more money into rough sleeping.
I like that.
Putting more money into rough sleeping.
I like that.
How about that? You know, one time we sat here and had a conversation about where all the tax money and that has been spent. Remember that? Yeah. I'm not sure where this would go into, but put more money into rough sleeping. If there's been an increase on homelessness on the streets, let's get to the root core of why a lot of these people are there and start dealing with that.
Yes.
Start dealing with that. Taking away tents, what you'll end up finding is, at some point, we're going to end up being in a situation where we're walking down the street, we just see a dead body on the floor.
you know what's going to be, and do you know what's bad as well we're going to end up seeing? Because that's just, that's, dead that's scary. On the floor. That's scary. Before it gets to the dead body, do you know what you're going to end up seeing? Your old school friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to end up seeing one of your relatives. Definitely. It's going to become so normal. Definitely. Like, that's just going to be, and I just don't get it. Like I said, sorry to reiterate the point, because you're right, Chucky, you're not even going against it. You're saying the same thing as me. The Browning having that opinion, for me, stinks, because crazy. I believe it's a full-blown choice. We spoke last week about, or a couple weeks ago, about how I said it's kind of hard for me to be racist. Or I feel like it's hard for me to be racist because certain men are born with privilege and they wouldn't give up their privilege in order for us to have an even playing field. Yeah. So guess what? How am I racist? Like, this it confuses me in my mind. This situation is like, they're people that, say that person was white, I wouldn't have this much vim. Because I genuinely believe that is conditioning. I genuinely believe you're so far removed from some of the things that we go through as a Browning, as an ethnic minority. You might not have no awareness of it. Your only awareness is when you watch television. In terms of you having real access and real knowledge to it, you may not have none of it. So you avoiding it is so easy, I believe. Mm. When you're a Browning, I'm sorry. You avoiding it, you've planned a path and a way to avoid it. Because it's too difficult to avoid the pain of an ethnic minority on planet Earth currently, especially living in England. There's no way you watched the Euros 2020 and watched three black boys miss a penalty. And even if you are not black, if you're an ethnic minority and you've been excluded from the country, there's no way you watched that and didn't understand where them people were coming from because of something that's happened in your life. So when I see this woman speak about, oh, you're telling me now, she's saying, ban tents for homelessness. I'm like, why are you pretending like you don't understand how certain men get there? Why are you pretending like you don't have an understanding of the situation? Why are you pretending to be them? You and DJ Khaled need to do a podcast.
Money. Can't research from a year ago by homeless charity Crisis and Harriet Watt University predicted that by 2024 there will be 66,000 more homeless people in England, including 8,000 more sleeping rough and 9,000 forced into unsuitable accommodation. Mental.
I'll be real. You see, being homeless, do you know how much that scares me, bro? Like, if my family or my friends told me they're in that situation, guess what? I guess I'm sleeping rough for a little while. Homeless, like being homeless. I can't even imagine mentally where you are to accept that as a thing.
Yeah, it's not as deep. It's deep. Like some people have had so much mad situations happen to them from birth all the way up to adulthood, which has then caused them to end up being homeless. You know, abuse, addiction, no support, not knowing where to get support from, community being in a bad place, inflation, things are super expensive, you know, like, that's why, you know what, sometimes I used to look at, like, you know, like, sometimes you see people on the street and they might be asking for money, and people would say, oh, do you know what, I don't want to give them money, because they're just going to end up spending it on drugs. Do you know what, let me tell you something, if I'm on the street, I might want dark, I'll be honest with you, I might want dark. I might want some dark and I might want some light. I'll tell you that now. Because it is cold out there.
Why are you policing what I want?
Yeah, exactly.
You been here?
Yeah. You might want to... You'll be outside and want a Kestrel.
Brother.
Of course. What? You expect that they're going to be outside, you give them a little money and you're going to have a vegan diet. Come on, bruv.
Listen, I'll be real. One time, I won't say who. This is time ago as well. I phoned one of the people I know. Late. This is on God. This is when I lived in Palmer's Green. I phoned one of the people I know late. Like, oh, welcome. What are you doing? Whatever. I have a little catch up. Big man, I could hear bear noises, but it's late. It's past 12 o'clock. Big man, what are you doing? I can hear you're outside. I am. But it's late. My pops kicked me out. What? Yeah, I'm in the park with my bags. Huh? And in my mind, the first thing I thought was, you just accepted that. What happens after that?
Yeah.
My brother, I had about, this is the times of living in my overdraft. Okay. I had to walk from Palmer's all the way to Tottenham to meet my brother. And then we had to walk back home whilst we were holding the bags. Got a little chicken and chips on the way. Fam, homelessness for my people is the scariest thing in the world.
Yes,
it's the scariest thing in the world. I've never...
And hostels in that are dangerous sometimes too.
What?
Yeah, man. Imagine like certain women are going to certain shelters and that as well. And it's bare abuse. Man, them, certain man them are in there getting beat up. You're in there around all kinds of stuff. Going, oh, it's crazy, man. It's
nuts. And this woman wants to get
sometimes
rid of
tents. They're good because it starts. It's a process that starts. And then if you stick at it and you're persistent and you know the right people, you know the right things to say, you can maybe you can raise up a little bit in this queue and get a place. But let me tell you one thing for sure, yeah? If you are a man and you are, let's say, somewhere in your 40s, 50s or 60s, like in and around that, a bit older, and you don't have kids, you are low on that thing, bro. You are low on it.
Well, I'm telling you.
You are low.
Very, you're not a priority, big man. You're
not a priority at all.
It's sad. The whole thing is sad, but do you know what,
and you're going to ban tents.
You want to ban tents.
So it stinks.
So how are we going to camp? Say they came out of gazebos. What do you want them to do? Build a yard?
Listen, bro, it's crazy. They don't want people to camp. They just like people that are camp. But anyway, I saw it, girl. Anyway.
Hey, Chucky's on the step over. Drop the shoulder. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Anyway, howlers.
Of course. Of course, Chucky. I sent them over to you, yeah? Sorry I didn't send them last week. Last week was crazy. I had the kids. I missed them. Oh, also.
You couldn't show them.
I saw a comment about, man, them don't get their kids and when they do, they complain. Let me tell you something, who missed that comment. Shut your blood, Clark.
They said that about you.
I love my picnic, but if no one complain about them, I will complain. They're mine.
What did they say about you?
What's wrong with you? Think I feel guilty? You're a idiot. You idiot. I bet you ain't got no picnic. You idiot.
Go.
Sorry about that, Chucks, but just before I throw it out there, you're an idiot. Just let you know again, you're an idiot. A bit like this woman here. Please listen to this.
In the entire world, if you are wondering how...
This is from
that was
Mia Khalifa.
Men are the easiest thing in the entire world. If you are wondering how... you and another woman got the same man, it is because men are the easiest thing in the entire world. I have never wanted a man and not gotten him. Do you have any idea how many men have wanted me and not gotten me? There has never been a single man that I have wanted that I have not gotten because men... they are cheap. Men are the easiest.
First of all, Mia Khalifa, you calling anyone cheap and easy when I can see you naked for all of 1999 fucking my broadband is a wild statement in the first place. So you calling anything cheap and easy, darling, you're a bag of chips from the fucking chip shop. You shut your mouth there. Secondly, this opinion that people have annoys me. So let's put it to bed right now. Now, depending on how you advertise yourself will let me know more or less what people want. If you're fucking naked half your life on the internet, probably people just want to have sex with you. So when you say want, stop making it seem desirable like we want to go and have a whole lifetime with you and about 7 kids. We want to have about 7 minutes, about 7 weekends, not 7 years, darling. It's probably why you're still single. So stop all that garbage. Another bit of garbage we need to stop is this option talk. I hear people talk about, oh, how much man I got in my DMs, how much girl I got in my DMs. Do you know how much clothes I see when I go Central London? There's clothes everywhere. But guess what? None of those clothes are an option for me because I don't want them. So if you've got tons of people in your DMs, but you don't want them, that is not an option. How can an option for you be something you don't want? That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you see that little trumpet you've got? Put it down, darling. No one wants to hear it, all right? We'd rather listen to Lisa with a saxophone. Lisa with a saxophone. Not Mia Khalifa, whatever the bloody name is, with a trumpet. Put it down, darling. It stinks. PYN.
Right, then.
I didn't like that trumpet. Am I wrong with that?
No. I mean, we are easy to a degree.
Very.
Right. So here, because I just want to elaborate on that a little piece, yeah?
Please.
So if most men go to Oxford Street, Yeah.
Yes.
And they say, you know what? And they just like walking around and they just quietly say to a girl, you know what? Do you want to chop? Enough times a woman might look at a man and be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they're not going to want to do it. However, if a woman goes to Oxford Street and she goes over to a man or whatever and she says, do you want to chop? A man might start looking around to think, oh, no, wait.
Quiet corner over there.
What? This is too good to be true. And he might actually do it. Yeah. The chances are he's more likely going to do it. However, you're just, when people talk about men are easy, you can talk about it in one dynamic. But also, in another dynamic, it's not so easy because the sleeping thing and the sex thing, yeah, of course, like people are going to want to just, like, enough times people are going to want to do that. But when it comes to a man wanting you.
Wanting you.
Wanting to spend time with you.
Not the aesthetics.
Right.
I love aesthetics. But you see something deeper?
You see, when it comes to the deeper thing, it ain't so easy. And I can almost guarantee you, you see, with Mia.
Go on.
There would be a lot of men that would want to sleep.
Yes.
They might be. But wanting her. To a full-blown, I need. I think we end up, like, the percentages now become a lot lower.
That's, it's like you have a love for yourself because people want to sleep with you. Your name already lets me know you're selfish. You're just full of shit.
And let's be clear, do you know what?
Mia.
A lot of men have sex addictions.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, I'm not saying it's right, but it doesn't mean that a man wants you.
Listen,
he's just got an addiction.
I'm sorry. Let's keep this real.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully this doesn't ruin my future plans to horizontally jog. But I tell you what, darling.
Yeah.
If all I want to do is sleep with you, don't go and tell your friends I want you.
Right then.
Don't. You're going to embarrass yourself. I want a moment. Do you know what a moment is? Something that comes and goes. I don't want a lifetime. I don't want evidence.
Strong.
You know what evidence are? Zion and Khalifa. I wanted that. That's why they're here.
Absolutely.
I don't want that for you, darling.
Right.
I want this one night. And then after that, whatever you do, good on
you. I'm telling you.
And that shouldn't make you feel happy.
At all.
And if it does, personally, you have some internal problems you need to go and sort out.
Right.
PYN.
Pinch your nose. Pinch your nose. She made 12 bags for what? 5 years.
I know.
Oh, what, blacked did her dirty like that?
As in, she was chopping bare money, she didn't even talk about
it. Look, I mean, look.
That's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more just talking about.
She didn't even 12? Get tax. But she didn't even get tax for the thing.
That's not.
And she was wearing the Muslim outfit. You're out here disrespecting the religion. You want to talk about. You listen, Mia.
Yeah, that stinks.
You are. You stink, man.
Well, it's big. What she's saying is a thing that most people would think, and well, not most people, there's a lot of people that feel that way, and she's not wrong in all of what she's saying. She's wrong in the dynamic.
Yes.
So if you're equating this as men wanting you, then you got this thing completely wrong.
Completely.
If you're talking about sex, then yeah, you're right.
But if you think any of the men them I know are gonna wife you, you'd be right. The next one that, I mean, it's not necessarily close America, but it's I want to back the women here. It's time to defend the women. Because too much man cheat with a smile on their face. But when they get caught, they're crying in the shower.
Oh my God, I've seen that. In the shower doing an R&B.
Now, dear man them, this is rich coming from me, yes, but I've made the mistake so you don't have to.
You're just laying on the floor.
When you cheat, my brother, cheat, and if you get caught, even if that's how you feel, make sure you're the only person that knows.
Let's give it advice.
Cheat properly, people. If you get caught, you just simply say, do you know what, darling? You're right, I was wrong, you know. Have a discussion about it. If you want to cry in the shower, make sure there's no evidence. Because you see the moment you're over it, and you think to yourself the cheating was the right thing to do, so I didn't even want to be with her, you have visual evidence to suggest that's not how you've always felt. Get rid of the evidence, people. Don't leave it there.
Yeah.
Do you understand where I'm coming from, Chucky?
I mean,
Cheat with chest. Cheat with chest. CWC. And if you're a girl, CWB. Cheat with breasts. All right, people.
Strongly.
Now, the last one. I also sent it to EA Sports. Is another reasons why myself, Kyle Stewart, a.k.a. Poet, is not getting married. And like I've said here on this podcast, I shouldn't see another woman's life involving another man's life, which has nothing to do with me, to make my decision on whether I should get married. But when I see videos like that, it just doesn't feel right. I'm going to show a video, or EA Sports is going to show you a video of a man on his wedding day getting married to, I believe, the woman of his dreams. And I'm not saying this can't happen at any other night in your life, but on the day you got married, this doesn't feel right.
Explain what's going on here.
For the people at home who don't have access to the internet to watch the video, but they can just listen to the audio, or maybe the ones that are a little bit early, we are currently watching a video where a man clearly has got married to his girlfriend. He's in the celebration and someone is singing, a famous singer is singing, and instead of her grabbing her husband by the cheeks, maybe his bum or his face, just letting him know how thankful she is for this moment, she drops to her knees to the singer and embraces his kneecaps. PYN, this stinks. And let me show you how far my insecurities lie. This could be Alan Carr. This could be Elton John. This could be Saucy Santana. I don't care. When you're married to me, how dare you drop to your knees to another man on the same day in front of my whole family? All of my friends and the internet.
Why does she do that?
Because she has no respect for her man. And he has no respect for himself. I give this relationship 3 years, 24 days, 3 hours, 27 minutes, 13 seconds.
I definitely would have.
Yes.
I would have been, that would have been a strong conversation when we got back to the hotel. Babes, what was that about? I need a sentence or a paragraph that is going to make me understand what was going on there.
You mean I dropped down to one knee to propose for you to get on two knees to somebody else?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, people, let's make better decisions in our life. I'm not getting married. I've tried to convince myself every single day that Poet it's the right married, thing. Though. But...
Poet's getting married.
To and who? There will be bare clips of him saying that he's not
getting married.
And that will wedding. Get played at the wedding.
No. Aisha Diaz, I'm still here, man. I don't care who you slept with or what you've done. My heart's open. It will still go on.
Laurie Harvey's available.
She's dating
at the moment.
Future was right about her, man. No disrespect to anybody that's been with her and loves her dearly, but Future was right.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Yeah, love.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.